didn't give this presentation, but these are his thoughts. They're all of our thoughts, actually. And it's a real honor to follow two leaders in our partner in from countries that we partner with in PEPFAR. PEPFAR, as many of you know, was announced in 2003 to meet the severe and urgent crisis abroad. And over the years, the commitment of the president has been matched by funding from proposed by the president and from Congress. And how many of you are involved in PEPFAR in the audience, either funding or directly, indirectly? A good number of you. Okay, this story I'm going to tell is the work of all of you, us at the table, those in the audience. We've all contributed to the success of PEPFAR and what's been done with these funds. And I'd like to say a word about this vertical versus horizontal dichotomy. In a way, I think it's a false dichotomy. Good vertical programming has to include good horizontal health system strengthening. And in turn, good vertical programming, I think, focuses the health system strengthening on results, on disease prevention results. So they should go hand in hand together, and I'm going to show you how they have in PEPFAR. PEPFAR covers 120 countries throughout the world. You may think of the 15 focus countries of PEPFAR, which are in red here, primarily in Africa, with Haiti and Guyana here in our hemisphere. However, it does cover 120 countries throughout the world. The 15 focus countries, by the way, cover half of the epidemic today, which is why most of the funding goes to them. And the goals set by Congress for PEPFAR are the prevention of 7 million new infections, treatment of 2 million, care for 10 million. So it's a comprehensive program. Focuses on prevention, treatment, and care. And when this history of public health, and this is Mark's thoughts, is written, it really will highlight three main advances of PEPFAR. One is a massive commitment of resources. I mean, our funding has increased tremendously over the years. It's tied to clear numerical goals. All partners have objectives, our countries have objectives, we have objectives. Integration of prevention, treatment, and care. And it's really using a chronic disease management model. I mean, AIDS is a chronic disease. So when you think about it, it is building up the capacity for treating chronic diseases. In the focus countries, here's how the funding is divided up. And you can see it goes to prevention, treatment, and care. And the health system strengthening, the health professional support is found throughout these, and I'll analyze them a bit differently in a few minutes. And you can see here in prevention, we cover everything, abstinence be faithful to other prevention activities, including condoms, counseling and testing, prevention of non-sexual transmission. Looking at prevention quickly, approximately 61.5 million people were reached by community outreach programs in prevention in our focus countries, and we've supplied 1.67 billion condoms worldwide, which is something like 70 times the amount from pre-PEPFAR. So we have a comprehensive ABC approach to prevention. And we're just beginning to see change the effects of our prevention, comprehensive prevention strategy. This is a behavior change among a group of males in Zimbabwe, and it focuses on the proportion of you can't quite read the writing, but 17 to 19 year olds who have sex, it's been reduced, number of partners, and then the HIV prevalence, which is the last two columns, also has decreased over time. So So we're beginning to see declines where we have data in countries in the epidemic. We're also, as we work in prevention, care, and treatment, really emphasizing gender. And another way of cutting our results, our information, is this shows the number of activities that are involved as we address gender issues. Five priority gender strategies are involved in our funding, and they're reviewed annually. And in fiscal year 2006, a total of $442 million supported over 830 interventions focusing on gender. And we break down our major results by gender for monitoring. In prevention, why a comprehensive approach? These nice diagrams show sexual transmission networks and what happens over time as people who are positive link between sexual networks. And you can see how networks that are basically begin with low degree networks can create a core for the transmission of AIDS. So when we talk about the need for be faithful and abstinence, one of the reasons is this. We're trying to isolate, reduce sexual networks. When you look at the last 175 infections in Uganda, a lot of us today talk about know your epidemic, know your results. What is it telling you about where your intervention should focus internationally, nationally? When you look at Uganda, you can see that married couples are a source, 65% of the last 175 infections in that country. Discordant couples are half of those. So what this is saying also is a comprehensive ABC approach is needed. Condom use in regular partnerships. We have a lot of work to do here. We've increased the number of condoms shipped to countries, distributed. Condom use is still rather low in regular partnerships, which goes back to the last 175 infections. Also, we have a new intervention, which is male circumcision, and we're working with countries around their national plans and their priorities on medical male circumcision, but it has been shown through clinical trials to be highly effective. Does require ongoing behavioral change for both males and females with it. And the focus, what we hope, is a focus on high prevalence areas and high risk individuals, such as discordant couples. PMTCT, vertical transmission in the area of prevention. This shows the coverage that's occurred as a result of USG support. First two columns are pregnant women receiving PMTCT services, 2004-2006. The second two are the HIV pregnant women receiving ARV prophylaxis, 2004-2006. Botswana, many donors, a government that has taken the lead as far as what the program should be in that country, has today 95% coverage of pregnant women, and it has a 91% coverage of women who test positive for ARV prophylaxis. Other countries, we're working to increase capacity. For example, Mozambique has 17% coverage, Ethiopia has 2% coverage. Many of the women in Ethiopia do not go to maternal and child health centers, so therefore the PMTCT coverage is extremely low, very challenging there. But we can monitor this, and we can use this for directing programs for quality improvement. Leveraging HIV improvements in general health, percent of blood demand in 13 PEPFAR countries. Again, here, you can see that this is percent of blood demand met in 13 countries, and we're up to 75% projected for this year. So again, another example of how we're supporting health systems. Turning to treatment, ARV scale-up has been successful. We've met that. We're meeting that goal. We're on target to meet that goal. Over 1 million people on treatment, which is just incredible when you think when we began in sub-Saharan Africa, it was around 50,000. And you can see this impact. This is cumulatively years of life added through 2004 as a result of funding for treatment. And this is treatment coverage. Again, looking at coverage, we go from 80% in Botswana to 10% in Nigeria. So we have far to go, but we have successes. I mean, it's incredible what partnerships, what providing countries with countries the impetus and funding to do this, what country governments, national leadership can do. Moving on to care, you can see we've been able to scale up care, and the bottom line is really interesting. It's orphans and vulnerable children. When you think about it, there was very little donor funding available for orphans and vulnerable children when PEPFAR began, and look what we're doing now, and that's going way beyond the health sector because we're meeting a variety of educational and other needs for them. So when you look at framing PEPFAR's contributions to general development, you can talk about leveraging infrastructure developed. You can talk about supporting aspects of general development that have a direct and significant impact on HIV, and that's where the link comes in. They have a direct and significant impact on HIV, but you're talking about OVC, education, gender equality, income generation, micro-projects, and providing a larger piece of a larger approach, such as pre-service training for health professionals. I mean, it was mentioned that health is a part of a total component of each country, and that we need whole packages of services, and that's what good HIV funding does. So PEPFAR estimates its investment in network development, human resources, local organizational capacity building, training to be roughly $640 million, in 2007. 83% of our partners and sub-partners are local indigenous organizations, which supported more than 15,000 service delivery sites in 2006. And in 2006, we supported nearly 1.7 million training or retraining encounters, as well as more than 25,000 service delivery sites. So I think this shows we can play a vital role, but outside resources for HIV, AIDS, and other development efforts must be focused on transforming the whole health system within countries. We're a part of the picture. And this shows in how in PEPFAR sites, antiretroviral treatment, where we were supporting investments in those sites, typically building and renovations, PEPFAR paid for 100% of that in those sites. Lab equipment, other equipment, training, all investments. So that when you get down to the clinics, we'll get to the clinics in a minute, but let me just show here support through the public sector. This just is another illustration of the different groups that we funded. In South Africa, this is. So when you get down to what we've done for general health care and PEPFAR, this is a study by Family Health International at 30 primary health care centers in Rwanda, and it examined 22 non-HIV health indicators before and after the introduction of basic care. There's lots of talk, lots of essays written on, are we harming health systems, vertical donors, or are we helping health systems? There's very little data. When you go out and look at the literature, you talk to researchers, very little data. This is one of the studies we'd like to see replicated in other places. Of 16 indicators that they looked at, only one indicator declined while 15 improved in the sites where basic HIV care and treatment were being introduced. Family planning use has increased. ANC visits increased, syphilis screening increased. So we have had an impact on other health. At least we're beginning to get some data that we've had an impact on other health conditions in countries. And this looked at hospitalizations. Hospitalizations decreased on average by 20.9%. Now, it differed by facility, but that gave space, freed up healthcare professionals for other services. And this is just a visual which shows how the health centers, obviously we've pushed treatment and care down to the district level, and those district health centers are used for many types of care and treatment, not just for HIV, but this visually shows what's happening in districts, clinics, where before renovation, this is very visual, and after renovation. And again, these clinics are being used for many other conditions. This is a new facility in Tanzania. So we're focusing now on telling the story, on gathering the information to show, to monitor really that we're supporting workforce. In Namibia, PEPFAR supports the salaries of nearly all clinical staff doing treatment work and nearly all those doing counseling and testing in the public sector. Uganda, TAZO, an incredible AIDS service organization, has increased its employees from 16 in the early 1980s to several thousand employees today. They're really a comprehensive prevention, treatment, and care organization. Ethiopia is training community health workers. This is not to say we don't have challenges for the future. You look at the number of physicians in Ethiopia, low, okay? Nurses shortage across many countries. But we're working on supporting community health worker training and on pre-training and post-training for physicians, nurses, and other healthcare workers. Zambia has a physician retention scheme, which provides incentives such as hardship allowance, housing, transportation. And we're working with WHO on a task shifting project to take these lessons that have been learned and to turn them into policy and into worldwide sustainable programs. These are some of the regional distribution centers that we've set up for procurements in Africa that are being used by other donors, countries, for procurements. And this is a result in Botswana, the Botswana government's program. What has happened as all of us contribute to that program since it was one of the first countries in Africa to scale up services? Look what's happened. As funding has increased, infant mortality plotted has decreased. We're beginning to see results. That prevention of 7 million infections averted, deaths averted. We can't tell the whole story yet because the data collection lags behind what's happening. But where we do have it, it does seem the AIDS funding, the malaria funding, the TB funding does seem to be having an effect. So I will and that's another life expectancy, by saying we're partnering with malaria, this comprehensive package, and TV. Malaria is a good example where they're supplying bed nets. We're using our distribution infrastructure in Zambia. 30% of every global fund grant comes through PEPFAR. We're supporting their malaria grants. TB, we're providing $130 million for HIV-TB-related activities, and we're collaborating with WHO and the Global Fund on TB. In my area, strategic information, we're working on the creation of schools of public health and public health programs in a number of countries. Association of Public Health Laboratories has been extremely active in the program. We're supporting mapping of health services. And as we move ahead to the next generation of the PEPFAR program, we want to talk about measures and indicators that look at the whole health picture, aren't just focused on prevention, care, and treatment, as we did initially, because we had to. That was our basic mandate. We're also looking at supporting other HIV-related development, education, food. Food has been a major, major issue where we've partnered with Food for Peace and other programs on food, and also supplied it for adults in our clinics and children in our clinics. So beyond PEPFAR, the next phase, the President has called for a doubling of the initial commitment of $30 billion, which will bring U.S. 10-year commitment to more than $48 billion. We want to enhance partnerships with countries. We really want to connect the dots on development. And also, some goals have been proposed for the next phase of PEPFAR, including treating 2.5 million people, which is only slightly more than the 2 million people that we're on now, but maintaining those people. Prevention, however, almost doubles. Prevention of more than 12 million new infections, and care for more than 12 million people, including 5 million orphans. So thank you very much.